Welcome to the Growing Leaders Podcast. My name is Andrew, and with me, as always, is our fearless leader, Dr. Tim Elmore. Tim, how are you doing today?
I'm well.
Good. Hey, we are so excited that you have joined us today. We have an incredible interview lined up with Dr. Wayne Hammond. Dr. Wayne Hammond is the co-CEO and CSO of Merit Corps in Calgary, Alberta. And they're doing some incredible things up there that I can't wait to learn about. And we're really excited not only to have Dr. Wayne Hammond here, but to provide some opportunities for our listeners to engage with him in the future as well. So take us away, Tim.
Great. Thanks, Andrew. Dr. Hammond, we are very, very, I want to say excited, but more than excited. I think the work that you're doing is groundbreaking. You certainly are interested in graduating smart kids from school, but we've even taken a few minutes prior to this podcast. You've talked about the importance of so many other things besides just being intelligent. So I'm excited to jump in. If you don't mind, I'm just going to lob you some questions. And again, thank you for being a part of this.
Well, it's certainly a pleasure to be with you here today.
Wayne, you've worked in education and with educators now for decades. Take a moment and share with our listeners exactly what you do.
Well, my background's a clinical psychologist. So I was raised in that model of that when kids had challenges, our first response oftentimes was to diagnose what was wrong. Mm-hmm. And then we thought if we could remediate that, then the child should do fine.
Yes.
What I learned in my practice very quickly was that people don't want to be fixed. They want to be valued.
Yeah.
And so I started to shift in my model to this idea of, how do we listen to the story of students? And what is it about students that even though sometimes they may be displaying dysfunctional behavior, there's actually a strength behind it? Because what I started to realize is that when students feel valued and you start with what's important to you and I want to have a relationship with you, then they tend to accept and be much more receptive to taking those smart risks and challenges that we have to invite them into in the learning process.
Yeah.
So I really shifted away from a deficit model of seeing kids at risk to seeing students at potential. Mm. And it's just my belief that every student wants to be successful. Every student wants to be part of something bigger than themselves. And every student has greatness in them. They just don't know it. And it's our job as educators to help them to explore what's right about them and then scaffold that ability and their ability to meet future challenges. Because it's really about creating a template for life, not just that particular year of education. It's how kids see themselves, how they see their strengths, how they draw upon it, and how they allow others to support them that actually creates a lifelong journey for them.
I love that. In fact, what came to mind as you were sharing just then was that classic story of Thomas Edison when he was a boy and was dismissed from school saying, "You have no hope." And it was only his mother, as a good mother would do, to say, no, that's not right. You've got great potential. You'll be the greatest inventor. And of course, she saw his strengths when everybody else saw flaws. So I love this approach. I love the phrases you use. They're not at risk. They're at potential. It depends on how you look at it. Dr. Hammond, I want you to take a minute and talk about how you developed this keen interest and deep concern for resilience in students today. I mean, you do see their potential, but you also see many of them are not reaching it because they're not able to bounce back. So talk a little bit about that, and the assessment that you now do that really is beginning to help schools turn the tide.
Well, part of the journey was really, you know, is there a way for us to hear the story and actually to identify what are those particular strengths or sometimes referred to as protective factors in students. So we developed this model that takes a look at the relationships around children in family, community, peers, and school. And school is a huge component of this. It's a profound influence. And oftentimes because that's where kids spend a lot of time. And it's in the context of interacting with adults around them. So therefore, there's a big opportunity. But we also assess internal traits of how the children see themselves, their ability to show perseverance, their self-esteem, self-efficacy, et cetera. What we've been able to demonstrate is that when kids have this understanding of their internal strengths, how they see themselves and how they cope and how they are flexible in their thinking, their receptiveness to new ideas, and are being supported by people who believe in their potential, we've just seen, we have a data set of over 800,000 kids, and without exception, we see this trend. The greater they understand their internal strengths and draw upon their external factors, then risk goes down and pro-social behavior goes up. Mm. We've also been able to demonstrate that kids with higher resiliency compared to a more impoverished resiliency, we can see almost a 2-point grade difference in their academic performance. We've seen the negative, like bullying or violence or weapons in schools, almost go down to nil. And I kind of go back to a story, and I'll use this in the presentation, but Terry Fox High, it was in the bottom 10th of the school division on all its indicators, academic, mental health, behavioral issues. They actually had a fight club on Thursdays where kids drew numbers, and two kids fought on Friday, and the rest of the kids were betting on. So it was not an easy culture. Within 3 years and moving on to five, they're in the top 10th of the Calgary School Board on their academic performance, behavioral issues, and mental health concerns. The biggest factor we focused on was shifting the culture of the school of doing unto the kids and seeing the kids at potential. So we worked with the teachers, which I believe is the greatest asset of a school. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is that they're the ones who have relationships.
Yeah, yeah.
Principals were sort of cheerleading this culture to sort of saying, no, every one of our kids can do amazing things, but we have to be moving away from a content delivery, teaching from the front, you should learn, to, no, I need to hear your story. I need to take a more diversified approach because I may be the hindrance to your ability to learn. So, for example, you know, we had a young lad who was an amazing athlete, but was not doing well academically. Oftentimes schools will come and say, you know, if you don't reach 60%, you can't be on the basketball team. Yeah. So that's a coercive method to sort of trying to get that kid motivated because he wants to play basketball. The principal of this school had this insight to come and say, you know something, I think you have the ability to learn. So I want you to play basketball, but what I need from you is that you will attend classes, you will try your hardest, and you will complete the homework. So let's call it that. The reason why he approached it that way is that he knew his teachers were able to do what they needed to do in order for this child to be successful if they had a motivated student who showed up and was trying his best to do the homework. So he just made the assumption the child was going to be successful and sort of said, I'm not going to use that to stop you from doing something that actually gets you to school. So that's the difference in the approach. Yeah. It's about connecting kids in a way that's meaningful, but says, you know something, you're important to our school. You may not understand it right now, but that's the journey we're going to be on. You're going to become so intricate to the success of our school, and you're going to find that role and that value, but it's going to be in relationship with us.
I love it. Wayne, you and I have talked about this earlier. Much of our work at Growing Leaders is with higher education, in the world of higher education. I'm guessing what you're saying has everything to do with that world as well as the K-12 world. Would you agree?
Well, building, I think what you're referring to is that quality of leadership. I oftentimes refer to it as that everyone's an influencer. Mm-hmm. You know, oftentimes we see leadership programs in schools where certain kids are chosen for that. I actually think every kid is a leader. They influence in some way, whether it's in their peer relationships or in the culture of the school. And I believe it starts right from the day they enter school. Mm-hmm. And it's a journey of how we scaffold this capacity for kids to believe in themselves, to take smart risks, to become part of something bigger than who they are, and to know what success truly means. But we are seeing in the research where because of sometimes the tendency for kids to feel labeled that I'm not a good student because I'm only C+.
Yeah.
That you know, I'm not reaching certain criterias that people consider to be successful. So kids start developing a view of themselves. And we can actually see that in grades 5, 6, and 7, where kids start to disconnect from school, it's almost predictive that they will drop out of school. Mm. And it's all based on relationship first, not actually their academic ability. And then we're also seeing then, you know, there's dropout of school, but then a lot of the kids that are going on to higher education, whether it's college or university, you're starting to see this huge concern around, and it's upwards to 30 to 40% of kids that go through the first year university are experiencing significant mental health concerns.
Yeah.
The ability to cope is diminished. Their sense of entitlement, things like this. And the colleges and universities are really wrestling with this. And I believe that a lot of it has to do with the fact that these kids haven't learned how to face challenges. They haven't learned how to stand on their own 2 feet and know what their strengths are or their sense of resilience. And I believe it all starts back because it just doesn't happen all at once. And in our work with University of Alabama, it was really fascinating to know that, you know, upwards to 40% of those kids won't complete their four-year degree. And what they're looking at is, okay, we're actually pretty good at academic excellence. We can create smart kids. But it's that soft skills. And Heck had a study out where he was looking at kids who dropped out of school and then got their GED and came back. And so they were making the assumption that if you got that knowledge and passed high school, that you would probably do as well as anybody else who stayed in school. And the research said exactly the opposite. When those kids dropped out of school and got their GED, they actually had the same trajectory in life as kids who just dropped out of school. So what we're seeing is that just because kids know something doesn't mean that we've actually prepared them for life. It's the soft skills. It's the resiliency that now is becoming a better indicator or a more predictive indicator of success in life. It's also the same characteristic that future corporations are looking for. You can see in the research and the business review, et cetera, they're looking for individuals who will become leaders in their organizations based on their character traits and ability to demonstrate resilience, not where they got their MBA.
Well, we're on the same page there, and it's not that we don't value GPA or academic excellence. It's life is about so much more, and oftentimes EQ is a greater predictor of success than IQ. So this is rich. This is good. I'm struck by the fact that you mentioned very often you work with at-risk students, and there's 30% of them that don't even graduate grade 10. But then you've got these gifted kids that might go on, like you mentioned, to Alabama or some other college or university, that same amount would be having mental health issues. So you got this high-end, low-end thing. This is a concern. I mean, we've got to figure out how to ready them and prepare them for life following school. So I'd love to ask you another question here. What are some of your greatest findings as you work with campuses across Canada and the U.S.? Maybe you've started in on this already, but this is a big deal. This is not some tiny fraction of 2% that you're dealing with. This is a big cadre of students.
No, it is. And I think that's why, University of Alabama, in my mind, is incredibly progressive. They've caught this, they understand it, and they're trying to address it now and first-year students coming through. In some sense, when we talk about leadership and developing resilience, I believe what we're doing is we're preparing kids for life. So in some sense, it doesn't matter where these kids go. What we have to do is, like, this isn't just a model for so-called at-risk kids or kids who have a potential to maybe go down the wrong path. This is for every kid. Every child in the school needs to be prepared to think from themselves as that potential, their ability to know what success is, to develop that growth orientation that Carol Dweck talks about, that they get excited about challenges. They get excited about what it means to stretch themselves, to go beyond what they think they can, because true learning is not just being able to sort of repeat rote content. True learning is the ahas of life. It's a, oh, I didn't know that, but now I do know that, but I can now transfer that template into new contexts. And so I believe that school cultures need to build up kids who need extra support. We need to build on existing strengths, but we need to create a culture that stretches kids. But it always needs to be in a context of relationship, because kids will not take smart risks or develop those leadership qualities outside the context of being coached by somebody. And so it always goes back to, what is the culture of your school? Is it one about academic presentation of traditional content, or is it more of an influencing culture model where kids have those safe relationships where they feel valued and opinion, that they're being invited into the possibility of knowing things they didn't know the other day and reaffirming that as they get stretched into new contexts. So it becomes a way of life and thinking.
I love it. Wayne, in an earlier conversation, you talked about four steps that schools and educators need to take with the students. And I'm sure you're going to be touching on this in June when we're together at our National Leadership Forum. But would you take a moment and talk about those four really key words and why they're important?
In our model, we kind of use these four terms. My colleague, Terry Royer, is a very successful businessman, and he always talked about the idea that you need to keep things simple or people won't use it intuitively. You know, oftentimes people will go to, you know, these amazing conferences and get these books, and then they put them on the shelf and collect dust. Mm-hmm. And these steps I use in my parenting, I use it in my relationship with Rita, and I believe it's a way of connecting with people around change. But the first step is that we always need to put relationship before directing. So it's about connecting.
Yeah.
It's about, do you trust me? Do you feel that I am inviting you into something that I have the confidence to be able to create success for you? So it's all about building that trust factor. Mm-hmm. The second step is that, are you inspired? Do you believe that something can be different? But that inspiration oft comes because kids don't believe in themselves. Therefore, they need it in relationship. They oftentimes need somebody else to believe in them first before they actually start believing in themselves. So it's about connecting and inspiring before we actually have that third step, which is about building. And that's really what the model that we created was. We now have a tool that actually hears the story of kids, what they think about their actual strengths, their meaningful learning process, what it means for them to actually have relationships that believe in them and move them forward. Because one thing I learned in therapy very quickly, what I think about life means nothing. What my client believes about life is everything, mm-hmm. because that's the lens they look through. And if I don't understand that lens and know how to shape that lens so that it makes sense to them and they'll draw upon it, then I've missed the boat. So the building step is build upon what they bring, build up what they need in order to be successful and to build forward. It's always about moving them into new contexts with the strategies to be successful so that when they move into life, it doesn't matter, you know, what they come across. They've already got this experiential template and the neural pathways developed so that they know how to draw upon past experiences and apply it to new situations. You know, many of our kids are going to be preparing for jobs that don't even exist today.
Yeah.
You know, many of our kids will have 10 to 15 different career changes by the time they reach 50. So it's about teaching them how to be adaptable, how to be able to sort of show that perseverance, the growth mindset, become that critical thinker, to be, you know, tech savvy. These are all the qualities that we want in our students. And it's going to be the culture of the school. If you start with a deficit model, these kids will be limited.
Yeah.
If you start with an at potential model that these kids can do amazing things, they don't know it yet, and it's just our job to facilitate that process, then they start developing an ownership of the learning process, and they become empowered. When they reach that 11, grade 12, and moving on to university, you don't see that change. You don't see that drop or being put in environments where they're vulnerable to fail. These kids are excited, they know how to thrive, and they know how to create success because they've experienced this historically.
I love it. This is what every educator dreams of having in front of them. And what's great about what you're saying today is that we can build this. This is something we can do. Connect, inspire, build, and empower.
Absolutely.
I am very excited. Before we wrap up, I'm very excited about the fact that you're going to be with us on the main stage at our National Leadership Forum, June 23 and 24 of 2016. And you know, as you know, our theme is Leaders Everywhere, Creating a Culture of Leadership on the Campus. I want you to talk just for a moment about your addition to this theme, but I want to set you up well. You mentioned to me just a few minutes ago that you had just talked to 29 principals, and you asked them a question, and you might have been a little surprised by their answer. But talk about the power of culture and what you learned even in that conversation.
I think to, you know, create these cultures where kids are going to thrive, and that's oftentimes what I talk about, is that the goal of education is to create a thriving school culture, whether it's at the junior high, senior high, or college, university level. Because thriving is where kids, where students understand what their strengths and limitations are. They know how to create success. They know how to have relationship. They know how to develop rapport. They know how to create opportunities for themselves in an entrepreneur's way. But it all starts with us as support, as leaders in the school, because if our vision doesn't reflect that, then there's a tendency for us to invite different things into the educational journey that may or may not add to the picture. Terry Royer, that my colleague, talks about the idea that if you know where your harbor is, if you don't know where your harbor is, then any wind is acceptable. Mm-hmm. If you know where your harbor is, then you choose the right wind to get there. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's what education is about. If you know what you're preparing kids for, which is very different than 30 years ago, we need to create kids as I said, who are 21st century learners, yeah. then the culture of the school is critical. Because as a leader, I can inspire, but culture molds success.
Yeah,
it's going to be that influence that kids interact with that prepares them for the future in ways that they will be incredibly successful and in ways we never even thought of.
Absolutely. Well, and it's what's uncanny is, I think you mentioned earlier that so often school leaders, principals, let's say, are prepared to be managers, not leaders, and it's not necessarily their fault, but you've got to have vision to go forward. And what you cast today is precisely where we're going at the National Leadership Forum. So Wayne, I'm so grateful. Thank you for carving out some time to talk to us and for whetting the appetite of our listeners who might be attending the forum in June. Andrew, I'm going to turn it over to you to say farewell and to kind of maybe cast some vision for what's coming up.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Dr. Hammond, so much. What an incredible conversation. I know I personally am very, very excited to hear more. I definitely feel like we are only tapping the surface of what could be a really powerful conversation. If you're listening to this right now and thinking, this is a subject I'm incredibly interested in, this is maybe a place where the industry, the organization, or the school that where I'm at right now, we need to grow in this way, we want you to be a part of this continuing conversation. And you can do that by coming to the National Leadership Forum. As Tim said, it's June 23rd and 24th. If you can join us, come find out more information at growingleaders.com. We'd love to see you there. We'd love to have your voice as a part of the conversation to continue pushing this forward. So thank you again, Tim. Thank you again, Dr. Hammond, for being a part of this conversation. We look forward to seeing you guys in June and to seeing you next time on the podcast. Thanks.